Kia ora and welcome to Dr. Masa Mohageg of the University of Auckland School of Engineering. Kia ora, welcome Masa.
Kia ora, Katrine.
Thank you. Great to have you back with us, looking at some of the stories you want to highlight from tech this week. And that includes some of the hottest technologies in 2022. You're already looking around the corner.
Thank you. Yes, so I want to talk to you a little bit about some of the hottest trending technology in 2022. So I think 2022 is set to be an exciting year for technology development. And this comes from the IEEE, which is the Institute of Electrical and Electronic Engineers survey. So they recently surveyed 350 CTOs, CIOs, and IT directors. And the result from surveys show that AI, artificial intelligence, machine learning, and 5G, they are set to make a significant impact in the world in 2022. And today I want to talk to you a little bit about these topics. So 95% of who participated in this survey, they agreed that almost all industry sectors will be heavily influenced by AI innovation and development in the next 5 years, specifically in manufacturing, financial services, and healthcare. And 78% of them, they believe that the large proportion of everyday human tasks in this area will be augmented or even completely replaced by robotic automation. So RPAs, robotic process automation, they play an important role, I think, in a streamlined enterprise operations and reducing costs. But I think with all of this comes a lot of concern to a lot of people. There's a lot of worry about job losses. But I think the reality is that these new technology-driven shifts, they result in a greater number of jobs, but at the same time, a lot of skill shortage. And I think one of the facts we know is it is estimated that up to 85% of jobs in 2030, they don't even exist. So they are really, you know, fascinating stats. But I think there is no surprise to all of us that the COVID pandemic has significantly influenced the adoption of some of these technologies. So we are all working from home, and this is something that we are all very familiar with it now. And this came as a need for many businesses overnight to adopt a number of digital strategies to keep operating. And on top of that, it came the demand and reliance on a high-speed network connection. And I think this is where 5G comes into play. With the 5G rollout very soon here in New Zealand, and we will talk about it a little bit later, I think what is really important is that not everyone realizes the impact that it's going to have in our everyday work. So it is not just about super fast internet and super fast download speed on our phone. This is much more into it that we will talk about it a little bit later. But if you give me time, so I want to talk to you a little bit about the very first trend, which was artificial intelligence. So artificial intelligence, in fact, whether you're aware of it or not, it is already a fundamental part of our lives. What it is a little bit, you know, polarizing at the moment, I think it is the future of the AI. And there is a lot of fear and uncertainty around what is this tech could take us and what is happening with AI and how we as a human handle AI and AI development. So it is really important that we know the basic, at the basic level, how AI works. And I think one of the things that many people, they may not know about is that we don't really have only one type of artificial intelligence. There are different types of artificial intelligence. And the very first one, which is artificial narrow intelligence, it is what we use machine learning for. And this is the type of artificial intelligence that works on solving one specific problem. So it specializes on one area and solving one problem. This is what we have today. The next type of artificial intelligence, it is artificial general intelligence or AGI. And we call that machine intelligence. So this is referred to computers that is as smart as a human across the board. In another word, they can learn and they can apply this learning on a different domains. And the last one, it's artificial superintelligence or machine consciousness. And I think this is the one that it is a little bit scary, and this is the one that the intelligent of the machine would be much more than the best human brains to practically, you know, solve different problems. But machine learning, as we know it right now, it is only ANI, so or artificial narrow intelligence, and it uses machine learning. And for machine learning, what we really need is a lot of known existing data. So for example, we say we have 1,000 different images of red traffic lights. After a system trained on what these red traffic lights look like, there is a high probability that it will be able to detect a new image of a red traffic light. So based what is, you know, what it's seen and what is learned already. So that it means that the more training, the more data AI system can get, the better they can perform. So as you can see, data is essentially fuel for AI system. And it is the fact that poses a lot of concern at the moment around the data privacy. So there are questions around, where is my data? How is it being used? Do I have a control over my data? And these kind of questions, I think, are really important, and we need to talk about it. One of the recent news was around AI in facial recognition. And I think this is a huge application of AI, and it is something that it has some really amazing application. Probably the most well-known or the most used one is the facial recognition on lock feature on your phones. So despite the uses of facial recognition, there are some pretty significant data privacy impacts. So I don't know if you heard or seen the news about the New York-based facial recognition company, Clearview AI. So they recently landed in a hot water because of the data privacy issue. So basically, the company uses AI algorithm to match people faces to a database of billions of facial images. In another word, they sourced all of this information about the faces to the internet from different social media channels. And what we have at the moment, it is Google search for faces. So users like law enforcement, police, they can upload the facial image and the system will find matches in the database. But the issue at the moment is that the Clearview AI, they may constitute a potential breach of some of the country's privacy policies. For example, the UK Information Commissioner and the Office of Australian Information Commissioner, they launched an investigation into Clearview AI, and they found that the database is likely to contain data from citizens, which they didn't have any knowledge about it. So Clearview has been ordered to stop collecting images taken in the UK and Australia and to remove those images which is already in their database. And the Australia office found that their database breaches a number of other laws in Australian Policy Act, as Privacy Act as well, such as collecting sensitive information without consent, collecting personal information by unfair means, not notifying individuals of the collection of personal information, and finally, not ensuring that personal information is disclosed was accurate. So as a result of that, Clearview is now facing around $23 million US fine, and they plan to appeal their rulings. So as the users for the facial recognition become more and more controversial, I think the tech giant companies like Facebook, now Meta, Amazon, Microsoft, they're all suspended selling a facial recognition software to the law enforcement agencies because they're definitely potential of privacy breaches for them. But I think the message here is for the everyday social media user. The kind of these kind of news, I think they serve as a warning to all of us to be careful about what images we upload with public visibility on a social media platform.
And massive, the privacy is a huge issue, but so too are the biases. And we saw this in research into law enforcement in the United States. The technology itself can have biases. And again, the AI is only going to be as good as the data that's inputted, right? And when the human biases make their way into the data, you've got problems. And also the ultimate use of this kind of facial recognition, we think of China's, good citizen rules and the sweeping prospect of the way facial recognition can be used to, and what many of us would see as a breach of human rights or an overreach of the state. So again, it's the case, the technology is amazing, but the humans using it are often the problem, yeah?
Definitely. So this is really what you mentioned. It is what we refer to as algorithmic bias. And this is the unconscious bias at the human level coded to the machine. So definitely the machines are as good as the data that they train them in the first place. And if you have bias in the very first place, so there is definitely no doubt that the outcome is not inclusive or definitely has some biases.
Let's keep talking about 5G and its impact, including on the Internet of Things.
Sure. So 5G is another hot topic for 2022 as well as at the moment. So 2degree, just a few days ago, they announced that they are activating their 5G network for testing in Auckland and Wellington. And the full 2degree 5G launch will plan for early 2022. They spent over $1 billion improving their network, and the early tests show that the speed at the moment is over 1 gigabit per second. Vodafone and Spark, already they have 5G in a number of places in both North and South Island. And I think it's a really good time to take a look at how 5G will impact us. So in a nutshell, 5G has very low latency communication and high throughput, high speed. What does that mean? It means that it will definitely help with efficient system and resources that they use, connectivity. And one of the biggest applications of 5G is improving IoT or Internet of Things. And Internet of Things is really connected devices that connected together and they communicate with each other, sending and receiving data. One of the greatest use of Internet of Things applications is a smart building, smart factories, and smart cities. And with the smart cities and smart buildings, the data within a building, in terms of asset devices, they are all can be monitored and they can be managed using, IoT applications. And I think this is a time that we will see the big impact of 5G in high-speed communication with these type of a smart cities application. So, for example, in transport, there is a possibility of real-time tracking and management of a traffic. So we can monitor road conditions. We can have a real-time alert for a traffic incidents. So we can have automated traffic control to improve emergency vehicle transport. Within a building, energy efficiency, we will be able to have automated lighting control, so automated air conditioning control within the buildings. So in a healthcare, so we can have a patient health monitoring and emergency alerts for vulnerable people. And I think some of these features already developed and deployed. And in fact, most of the modern commercial buildings constructed future-proofed with building management system, BMS, that they will use 5G in IoT to further improve their efficiency. So this is happening and it is out there. But I think as the 5G rollout continues and ramps up, we started seeing the real impact of the 5G in types of application that they are around the corner.
I'm really interested to hear you say that some of those applications are already ready to go, because is there a missing link between the possibilities offered by the upgrade to 5G and the power and speed of 5G and then actually implementing them and using them maximally? What's the sort of missing link? Is it the software and the investment and the necessary innovations in software?
So I think what it is really, they are working, but with the 5G, we will be able to see, that they are much more efficient. So the speed will change a huge difference in their, performance and throughput and outcome. So some of them at the moment, they're not even developed because we didn't have that, 5G technology to be able, to test it in the very first place. But some of them, they can adopt it and they can, work much faster.
Is it possible to talk about an order of magnitude, as we might with an earthquake, between 1G, 2G, 3G, 4G and 5G? And if you were talking about it as an order of magnitude, how big the step between 4 and 5G?
So I don't have an exact number for that, but in terms of the speed, for downloading things, it is much faster. Obviously, I had the exact number to be able to report, but it is very significant. So I'm in charge of teaching a course which is Internet of Things, and we recently managed to use a Spark Innovation Lab to test some of our prototypes using 4G, 5G, and different network connectivity, and the differences were really significant.
So it's a bigger jump, say, than 3G to
It
4G, would
is.
you say? It's a much bigger jump.
It is a much bigger jump from 4G to
Sure.
5G.
Let's finish quickly with the killer robots stories we've done in the past on 9 to Noon, the autonomous weapons systems. And it's the sort of a theme today, isn't there? Which is, again, the technology really is not good or evil, but the people programming it, their intentions, can certainly have a major impact on what some of these incredible technologies are able to do. A push now to get a further push, shall I say, to get a ban on the autonomous weapon systems or the killer robots. New Zealand leading this push.
Yes, so and this is the one of the examples of that, negative implications of AI and not using AI for social good. So just a few days ago, Honorable Phil Toy for New Zealand's disarmament and arms control minister. So he announced that New Zealand will push for a new international law to ban and regulate these autonomous weapon system or AWS or killer robots. So there is no definition about killer robots, one single definition, but generally speaking, they are AI-based weapons that can select and engage their own targets without human intervention after they've been activated. And he said that the idea that a machine can decide to take a human life is inconsistent with New Zealand interests and values. And New Zealand is strongly placed to work with other countries to develop a convention or treaty under the United Nations to be able to ban them. And he says that New Zealand policy shows it is possible to address this risk of autonomous weapons while we remaining consistent with the country's defense and security interests. And we can continue to work alongside the key defense partners because there's always that fear of, being left out and not, be able to, to using this technology, but there is definitely a way, working around it. The policy ensures New Zealand's tech sector remains able to pursue peaceful development of AI. And this is what is really important. So autonomous weapons are perhaps the biggest concern of those who are at the moment even, hesitant about AI development. And this is a time that many people concerned about the things can go wrong with the fully autonomous. We don't actually have any fully autonomous, weapons at the moment, but AI-based, weapons or AI-based cars or self-driving cars, they are the examples of some of the examples of that. The system inherently designed to protect us and, make our life easier and, they improve our life, but the concern about it is AI-based machine can actually even, designed to kill us. So this is the time that we have to be really mindful. And what we just discussed before around, algorithmic bias and the people that they're using it, they the result of it that the system can favor or disfavor a certain group. And without even considering the ethic of autonomous weapons, it is not hard to imagine that what could potentially go wrong if these AI issues were present in these kind of systems?
Masa, thank you again for your time. Masa
Thank you
Mohage
so much.
is a senior lecturer at School of Engineering, Computer and Mathematical Sciences and Director of Women in Technology at the Auckland University of Technology.